Happy to be able to have this opportunity to be with you today and in this series of VBS lessons that we'll go through Thursday night. I imagine that perhaps by now you know that our theme in the adult classes anyway will be perseverance. And I'm grateful for the invitation to be able to speak to you upon this on this topic. And I thank Alan on behalf of the elders inviting me to be able to share with you in this week, to have encouragement one toward another, and to study such a very important and needful characteristic that we want to have in our lives, that of perseverance. In our hour this morning, we're going to talk about perseverance in the Bible. And my objective for this class this morning is twofold. First of all, I want to remind you how much there is in the Bible about perseverance. It is literally found from beginning to end. And the second thing I hope to do in our class is to tell you why that is so important. And that as Bible readers and Bible students, if we are working our way through the Bible and we are mindful of how much perseverance is in there, we're going to come to it again and again and again and have the benefit of that being reinforced in our own lives. So let's talk about perseverance in the Bible. We're talking about fortitude, resolve, endurance, steadfastness. We're talking about staying power. We're talking about the ability to see it through to the end and not give up. Perseverance in the context of the Christian life means maintaining our Christian faith through the trying times of life. Now, that doesn't mean simply maintaining our belief system. Well, I still believe in God, and I still believe Jesus is the Son of God, and I still believe in the plan of salvation, and I still believe in the church and judgment. There are a lot of people that believe those things that have yet given up. It's not just about being faithful, it's also about being fruitful, about living out the Christian life, of maintaining our faith and the integrity of our hope through thick and thin. That's what we're talking about. And this is found throughout the Bible. I want you to open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12. This is a text that we're going to give a great deal of attention to throughout the week, and one that has a lot of elements within it that we will expand upon in various sessions we have together. Therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that hath endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that you wax not weary, fainting in your souls. I like to teach classes from time to time on how to study the Bible. And I emphasize that the process of studying the Bible essentially involves three big steps: observation, interpretation, and application. That's what sometimes you'll hear called an inductive approach to the Bible study. In other words, I don't come to it with any preconceived ideas trying to find what I already believe, but I just come to the Bible to find out what does the text say. And I have to pay careful attention, observation. I have to discern the meaning of the text, not what I think it means, interpretation. And what good is all that unless I say, this is then what I need to do, application. But I point that out because when we look here at this verse, and if we start with step one of observation, we want to do a number of things to pay careful attention to the text, like read it all, compare different versions, look here at the text and analyze it, make various lists like keywords and cross-references, look it up, and then write it down. Now, when I think about analyzing this text, what I'm asking myself is this: what are the functions of these phrases? When I look at every word here and every phrase, what's the role that these various parts of the verse, what role do they have? And I'm trying to get you to look very carefully with me at this text because you can see, looking at it, that verses 1 and 2 is really one sentence built around one main exhortation. Let us run the race with patience. That's what we would call the main verb, the main idea. And there are three dependent clauses or three helping phrases that package this whole verse together. And they are these. First of all, seeing we're compassed about, and laying aside that weight and sin, and looking to Jesus. All of these things then bundle in to reinforce this exhortation. You and I need to run the race with endurance, perseverance, patience. And that first lead-in phrase is really best understood by feeling the sense of cause and effect here in this verse. Because we are surrounded by. Sense, you might see, like if you're reading from the New King James Version, you're going to see that word sense. That's very good in bringing out the causal aspect of this phrase. Since we are surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race. And that's what our class is about today. We have a lot of encouragement. We're surrounded. And because we're surrounded, literally surrounded, we should take great encouragement from that. We are not the only ones. People have done this before. People have maintained their integrity and their faith in God through the most unbelievably difficult times of life. People have done this before. We can too. So that's what our class is about, is seeing how vast this cloud really is. Perseverance in the Bible. And seeing what an encouragement it is to us. I like to help people in various classes understand how the Bible's put together. Don't you enjoy that? You think about how the Bible flows and how it's put together, and it comes, you know, to life when you see how it develops. Solomon says in Proverbs 4 and verse 18, the path of the righteous is like the dawn of light. It grows brighter and brighter until the full of day. When I was beginning my senior year at Freed Hardeman, I left my home in California and I'm driving across the country and I decided I'm not going to go Interstate 40. I've worn out Interstate 40. There's nothing left for me to see. So I'm going to take a different route. So I started across the middle of our country and I was taking the old Highway 50. And it took me through the heart of Colorado and I stayed the night around Gunnison, Colorado. And I began the next day very early before daylight driving. And it was dark. And as I drove, and as the light of dawn began to illuminate the sky, those beautiful colors were in the sky, the purples and the pinks, and then I realized, very faintly, still somewhat dark, I'm driving next to a river. And as it grew lighter and lighter, I could see the cliff on the other side of the river and the red clay and the green, beautiful green foliage against that red dirt. Do y'all have red dirt in Alabama? Maybe. And as it grew lighter, the colors grew more vibrant. As time went by, I realized from that dark moment to the light of day, even though I couldn't see it, that beauty was there. Solomon says the path of the righteous is like that. It's like the dawn of light, and it grows brighter and brighter as the day goes on. And our life is like that. If we're walking down the path of righteousness, if we're right with God and we're trying to live right with God, there are times when the day is not very bright. But as time goes by, that path is illuminated. That path becomes clearer and decisions are more distinct and our resolve to stay on that path grows stronger. As time goes by, if we're using that time to look at the Bible, to study the Bible, to be strengthened by God's Word. And so that's why it's so important to value not just the Bible abstractly, but the content of Scripture. So I like to share with people in various classes how the story of the Bible develops. I explained it to a class like this the other day. I said, if you will learn the periods of Bible history, this is not just for kids, right? This is not just for VBS. I mean, this is for everybody who wants to be stronger through God's Word. If you will learn the periods of Bible history, they're like hooks on the wall. And if you learn those, you can hang things on them. And so you learn the period of beginnings. That's easy. Everybody can remember that. It starts with beginnings. Genesis 1 through 11. Let me ask you, if you read Genesis 1 through 11, if you read from Genesis 1:1 all the way through chapter 11, do you ever come across perseverance? The concept, the idea. What about Noah? Do you think Noah understood perseverance? Do you think Noah understood what it meant to believe in God, then to have that faith challenged from time to time, and now we have to stick to it? I imagine, as you can too, that from time to time, Noah had to be the subject of ridicule. I very seriously doubt he had a big barn that he was hiding the ark in, right? Right out there for people to see. This is crazy. But he was doing what God said to do. That's perseverance. You come to the next period of Bible history, the period what we might call of the Hebrew family, the development of the Hebrew family, Genesis 12 to 50. If you read Genesis 12 to 50, do you come across the idea of endurance and perseverance and patience? Do you think Abraham was a man who persevered? Left Ur of Chaldees, and where was he going? Where was he going? To wherever God tells me to go. He left not knowing where he was going. But I'm going to believe in God. They didn't get to Haran and say, this is a fool's errand. Let's go back. No, he didn't do that. God said, I'm going to promise you a son. Your descendants are going to be so numerous, it's going to be like the stars of heaven, like the sand of the sea. And all of us can do the math, right? If you're going to have that many descendants, you have to at least have one son before you can have grandchildren. How long before Abraham would see that promise fulfilled? You know, along the way, hey, maybe Eliezer can be my heir. God said no. Oh, the Ishmael would live before you. God said no. Through Sarah, you will have a son. For 25 years, Abraham kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And Paul says in Romans chapter 4, he did not waver in unbelief. And I really like what Paul says in Romans 4, verse 23 and 24. It was not written for him alone that it was reckoned, but for us who believe on him who raised Jesus from the dead. Paul says all that about Abraham was for our benefit too. That's in the Bible. God put that in the Bible for us to read and value. Abraham was given a promise. He maintained his faith in God, and we see what happened. So you keep reading through your Bible. You come to Exodus. You're going to read from Exodus to Deuteronomy. What are you going to read about? Egyptian bondage and wilderness wandering. So you're following through time. The story of the Bible from beginnings, Hebrew family, Egyptian bondage, wilderness wandering. In that period of time that we call Egyptian bondage and wilderness wandering, see anybody, read about anybody that had to maintain their faith through hard times? Anybody? What about Moses? Moses, wow, you talk about an education. Raised as Pharaoh's daughter. You remember what happened at 40, and then he goes into the wilderness, lives there another 40 years. God calls him back, and through the mighty hand of God, leads the Israelites out of bondage. They're going to the promised land. You're going to the promised land. God says, I'm going to give you the promised land. And they send the spies in there, 12 spies, 10 come back and say what? No, we can't do this. Thus follows the wilderness wandering period, the 40 years. So that faithless generation is replaced by one raised by God in the wilderness through Moses. Did Moses have to exercise perseverance dealing with the children of Israel in the wilderness? You remember what happened, right? Towards the end of this period of time of Moses' life and all that he's done, and now he's living in the wilderness and he's leading God's people. And as they cried out for water, God told Moses exactly what to do, speak to the rock, but he did not. God said, because you did not show me holy, you'll not go into the promised land. You remember what happened? Moses struck the rock. You rebels, here's your water. Moses brought this to God's attention more than once. What did he ask God? Please. I mean, after all that I've been through, let me go in. The Bible says Moses besought God. Now, if I was to take that old English word and put that into a word we would normally and naturally use, what word would we use? He begged God. How bad did Moses, after all of this, want to go into the promised land? God said, Moses, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And you know what happened as they neared the promised land? God said, I'll let you look over into it. And God says to Moses, go up on Mount Nebo. And die on that mount. The Bible says that his eye was not dim, neither his force abated. That means Moses didn't go up there and die of old age or illness. Moses would have lived on. And you know what I think about when I think about the word endurance? Is every step that Moses takes up that mountain. However long it took, he knew was one step closer to his death and to unrealized hopes and dreams. How disappointed he obviously was. But he maintained his faith and integrity to do what God says. And in reality, you know exactly what happened when Moses died. He said, now this is the promised land. This is the promised land. What I saw compared to this, now this is the promised land. What I'm saying is we're reading through our Bibles, and if we have perseverance awareness, you'll see people just like you and me who have uncertainties, who have difficulties, and yet are pushing through and pushing back and maintaining their faith in God. And their effectiveness as a Christian and their influence to help other people go to heaven through hard times. You know what would be a great project? Is find or make you a bookmark that says perseverance and keep it in your Bible. And let that be a reminder that every time you read the Word of God, you look for people who have the staying power in the sufferings and tribulations of life to believe in God and do what He says. So we're reading along and we come to this transitional period after the death of Moses to the conquest and settlement of Canaan. What are we talking about? Joshua and Judges. Those books, Joshua and Judges. And again, you can see it repeatedly. People being told something, believing it, but then that's tested and they persevere. And you see this in the conquest period in the book of Judges. In the book of Joshua. When God gives them various instructions on how He wants them to proceed. We're going to take the city of Jericho. What are we going to do? Walk around it. Day one, day two, day three. Nothing's happening. But they kept doing what God said. We see that. We continue to read our Bible, and as we read Judges, and we move on into the period of the United Kingdom. Beginnings, Hebrew family, Egyptian bondage, wilderness wandering, conquest, and settlement of Canaan. Then we come to what? The United Kingdom. If you're going to read 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, that cover this period of 120 years, are you going to find in there anywhere where someone's faith was tested and they persevered? Certainly you will. What about David? Who cannot reread the story, the account of David and Goliath, and not be as thrilled and encouraged at the faith of that boy as the first time you read it? I mean, when I go back and I read about that and I soak up his words, it's awe-inspiring. Is it not? David coming to the camp and seeing the abominations that are going on, led by Goliath, that giant of a warring man, blaspheming and defiling the name of God. And that boy is offended at the lack of response among God's people, that this is unchallenged, that this is not contested. We all know what he does, and the process of Saul and trying on the armor. What does David do? It's all fine and good to talk about it, right? I've had some tests before, and a lion and a bear, and God delivered me, and I'm going to go down there. I'm going to go down there. It's one thing to say that, right? It's another thing to go down there and to pick up those 5 stones and to go out and meet Goliath and to say, you come to me with sword and with javelin. I come to you in the name of the God of Israel, and I will feed your flesh to the birds this day. And that's when, I'm reading that and I just want to fist pump, Yeah, that's right. God is on our side. God will help us fight enormous battles. How? Application. That's a whole another topic. But what I'm trying to show you is that if you have perseverance, awareness, and you are reading your Bible, it's just there. Over and over and over again, people are tested. People are challenged. And when many may fall by the wayside, there are those who persevere. There are those who endure. There are those that have resolve and fortitude and say, nothing is going to keep me out of heaven. So I will believe, trust, and continue to obey the Lord. So I think you can see what I'm trying to remind all of us about, of how throughout the Bible you have examples of what we're talking about this whole week. Staying power, strength under hard times. Not to even speak of then the divided kingdom period, and you have those prophets like Amos, you have Jeremiah, Isaiah, others. Not to even talk about the Babylonian captivity period and Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We will not bow down. Our God is able to deliver us, and if He does not, we will still not bow down. Right? That's toughness. That is amazing. Those boys. We come to the life of Jesus that we're going to talk about in the next hour. Jesus is the passage we read at the beginning of our class says, endured. He endured the cross, endured the shame, endured the ridicule. What about the apostles? See, we're reading through our Bibles from Genesis all the way to Malachi. Now we're into the life of Christ. Now we're in the book of Acts. Were the apostles tough men? Did they have gritty determination to endure? You remember right after the establishment of the church and then these powers and signs done by the apostles and the healing of the man at the temple in Acts chapter 3, the arrests of Peter and John. What did they say? We must obey God rather than men. They were beaten, they were charged. Don't be preaching about Jesus anymore. Did that stop them? No. The Apostle Paul. Toughness. Resolve. Fortitude. A man who persevered through incredibly painful, challenging circumstances. Why is that important? Well, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says so. Because we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Because we have this encouragement, let it be known to each one of us, we can too persevere. Let's look at the imagery of this text for just a minute, if we're going to look closer at it. In Hebrews 12, 1, the idea to convey this encouragement to us comes in the form of these words, because we are encompassed about. Encompassed about or surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. The imagery and the terms he uses when he says a cloud, don't think of one tiny little white puffy cloud up against the blue sky. Think of a fog bank. You are enveloped. You are surrounded. When I was in elementary school at Elmwood Elementary, I can remember because of our area, how in the wintertime we would have the fog. I can remember going out on the playground before school started and you couldn't even see to the end of the playground. Fog was so dense. That's the imagery painted here by Hebrews 12:1. You're just enveloped. The idea there is quantity then. He says, I don't have trouble pointing to just one person who persevered, or two, or three. Do you know through the Bible, through our reading of the Bible, through the divine record, how many people have been tested and ran the race with endurance? We're surrounded by them. We're surrounded by them. Not to speak of the fact that he has made a direct link beginning this chapter with that great Hebrews chapter 11. That's what he's linking when he says, therefore, based upon what I've just said, all of these wonderful people being surrounded, literally surrounded by a great quantity. But he makes another statement here that I want you to focus on. Because not only does he illustrate the number of people who can testify as a witness, you can make it, you can persevere. I've been down that road, you can too. He says this, look at it. It's wonderful. Therefore, since we are compassed about by such a great cloud. The word great there is unique. Such a great is a particular phrase that has to do with high value or high quality. He says, I'm not amassing before your mind and parading before you a lot of mediocre examples. These are high quality. These are people who were severely tested. Just like you are. This passage is encouraging because it reminds us how much perseverance is in the Bible. And it's there for a reason. It is there to surround us and to encourage us to run this race with gritty determination, to continue to believe and trust and obey God, come what may. It's encouraging. So you read through the Bible, you become aware of how often you come across someone being tested. And you see the end of it. You see the perseverance and the endurance. And Hebrews 12:1 says to us, we can too. In this beautiful verse that we're going to look at different components of, I hope you see this message of encouragement. You can run the race with perseverance also. As we look at the kinds of things that can test us, as we look at the various circumstances of some of the people that we've mentioned throughout Bible history this morning, there's all kinds of things that can happen. There are all kinds of uncertainties. There are all kinds of challenges. But the common denominator in all of those that we've mentioned and the hosts of people that would make up this great cloud, the wonderful people from chapter 11 and other people like them, no matter where they were or what the circumstances were or how many hundreds of years separated from them, all the differences, the common denominator with every single one of them was this. God made me a promise. And that's what I'm holding on to. It's getting hard. It's getting incredibly difficult. I don't know how I'm going to do this. That's what we're going to talk about Monday night. How do I persevere when I don't know? When I don't know how? I don't see really any physical possibility for this to move forward. How? And then I ask the question sometimes, why? Tuesday night. How do I persevere when I don't know why? And how do I persevere when I don't even know how long? How long? How's this going to be resolved? We're going to meet various challenges throughout this week of ways that the door of uncertainty can be open and our faith start eroding. How do we deal with these kinds of things? We're going to see as various people in Scripture dealt with these kinds of things, this common thread. This is what God said. I may not know how, I may not know why, I may not understand so much about this, but God has made me a promise. And we begin this morning with an appreciation of it in a general way. God has made you a promise, and you know what it is? You trust in Him, you can finish the race. You can maintain your Christian faith through the trying times of life. You can! You can finish the race. In 1997, there was the World Ironman Triathlon Championship. You know what a triathlon is? It's where there is a race consisting of a 2.4-mile swim, followed by 112 miles of cycling, and then followed by a marathon running 26.2 miles. Now, I can't do any of that. There are people that do all three in one day. And then to the elite level is the Ironman competition, where they do that without any breaks in under 17 hours. Unbelievable. Sean Welch and Cindy Ingram were training partners, but on this day they're competitors. They are competing in the 97 World Ironman Triathlon Championship. So they swim 2.4 miles, they cycle 112 miles, then run a marathon 26.2 miles. And Ingram gets to where she can see the finish line. You see it? The white and black checked banner. She can see it. And she said, it was like at that moment, my head became detached from my body. She says, because my head was saying to keep going, and she said, my body would not move. She literally collapsed on the ground. And she tried to get up, and she would just collapse. She tried to get up, and she would collapse. And she says, I could not do it. And she says, that's when I became 3 years old again. And I started to crawl. And she crawled her way to the finish line. As long as I make it, I don't care if I'm running or I'm crawling. I don't care if I'm worn out, beat down, abused, maligned, ridiculed, disease-ridden. I will crawl the last mile. If it means being with Jesus forever. We got to persevere, don't we? We have to make it through the trying times of life. And thank God we can do that together. I look forward to all of our studies together throughout this day and the week. And I thank you for your kind attention.